So now we're going to move on and we're going to talk about something called space debris. This is anything basically that's floating around in the Earth's atmosphere, any kind of object that has been created by humans, but it doesn't serve any useful purpose any longer. And it seems there's quite a lot of it up there. And to tell us a little bit more about this, I've got Rory Fitzpatrick. He's the CEO of the National Space Centre, and that's based in County Cork near Middleton. Hi, Rory.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you very much.
So before we get into the details of what you're doing at your own space centre, maybe just tell the listeners about space debris or space junk, as you call it. What is it, and is there a lot of the stuff up there?
Well, there's, since the beginning, since we've started flying into space and kind of orbiting the Earth, there's been an accumulation of all kinds of bits and pieces, flecks of paint, bolts, bits of metal, shrapnel. It's a cumulative process over time, and what's been happening is that most of the stuff, like the ISS,
the
International Space Station, is it at a location where the mass of the space station keeps it in orbit, swinging around the Earth, where it's been pulled out and pulled in at the same time, so it's just to the perfect orbit. But obviously, over time, these stations and satellites and all the other equipment up there starts slowly falling in, and most of it burns up on re-entry.
Yeah.
But often, bits and pieces are broken off or break up and spin back out and end up staying out in this general area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming quite a hazard. And it's they estimate that there's 600,000 pieces of space debris. Now, this would be from the smallest piece up to the biggest piece.
Mm.
But when you consider that some of these are traveling at thousands of miles an hour, that a very small piece of mass at that speed would cause catastrophic failure of spacecraft and of satellites.
I'm thinking just in terms of earthly examples of that, you know, the old story about dropping a coin off the Empire State Building and what happens when it hits the ground. I mean, you're talking about something maybe travelling even faster than that or bigger than that.
Absolutely. And recently there was a collision between two satellites about a year ago, which really woke the industry up to this. And like, when you consider that just purely on the spy satellites alone, there's been thousands and thousands of satellites launched and dropped back over time in the last kind of 50 years in the space race and in the Cold War and everything else. So there's a massive amount of assets out there. And what's beginning to happen now is all the different space agencies can see clearly there's a problem. Now, the first thing that we need to do is we need to track and make sure that nothing hits the space station and kills anyone. So that's the first primary thing, and that's one of the things they're cleaning right now. But beyond that, then, we're going to have to look at cleaning it up, sending some kind of robotic vehicles or missions up there to slowly start cleaning the stuff up and making it safer in space, so that as... And you look at Branson and all these companies that are now starting to move into space tourism and exploration. We're on the very edge of a very big move from kind of, you know, just dipping our toe in space to actually really engaging and getting out there. And there's going to be a massive amount of money and industry and excitement in this area over the next kind of 20, 50, 100 years.
And I think, aren't they talking about vehicles that can go up and service the space station and come back, basically, like kind of transport vehicles, that type
Absolutely.
Of thing?
Absolutely. Well, like, if you consider the vehicles that Branson and these guys have designed, they go into the inner orbit, the inner atmosphere, or the outer atmosphere. They're on the edge of space. I suppose in some terms they're not quite in space, but they're more or less on the edge of it. And these are secure vehicles that don't have any leaks, that you can survive in an environment where there's no atmosphere or anything else. So that's the first thing. Now, the difference between doing that here and doing that orbiting Mars is very little. It's just the time of getting there. But if something goes wrong, you have a big problem. So we do have a lot of stuff to do between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, if you look back, it's very, very similar to when they first discovered America. You have one or two big state-organized trips, like Columbus and these guys, that are funded by governments, and they go over there and they come back. And, of course, the big thing with Latin America was they came back with gold. So every maniac and his cousin was borrowing money to build a boat to head off to become rich.
Sure.
Now, if they found gold, a large seam of gold on Mars, you'd have exactly the same thing, but a high-tech version of it.
And it could, I presume it could happen. Why not? I
mean, well, there's a lot of stuff after being found on Mars and mineral deposits and all the rest of it. And there is a lot of exploration, and I would imagine mining is going to be one of the first things that is developing as a business on Mars.
But what you say is we're getting slightly off the topic, but it's very interesting what you're saying, because you know, this whole thing about why we should go to space, like obviously in the 70s and 80s and whatever, there was the Cold War, so the Americans, the Russians wanted to go because the others were up there. But now, if you have some kind of economic reason to go, that gives you you know, something to drive for, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And if you look at some of the stuff, like the Chinese have a long-term ambition to build a city on Mars and send 1,000 couples out there to live. And if there's a catastrophic event on the world, they would come back and rehabit the world. These are the kind of projects that are being dealt with at the moment.
Yeah. Real-world projects.
That's a current project that the Chinese are actually planning and looking at doing. So, and of course, America has cut a lot of the money back out of the Discovery program. And a lot of people think they're pulling out of space, but they're not.
The shuttle, you mean?
Sorry, yeah. The shuttle, yeah. And what they're doing is they're refocusing. And the reason why is that the Russian rocket system, it's like trucks. They just bang them up and down and up and down, and they're very, very good at it. They're efficient rockets, and, you know, they're very, very little little problems. They'd won recently, but generally they're very safe and stable platform for launching. So rather than compete with that, the Americans have decided they will refocus on Mars. So now the focus in America and with NASA is coming back into Mars missions, and the European Space Agency is also refocusing with its next program on manned missions in space. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of the key focuses. But again, coming back, and you mentioned this on the point initially, the big thing here is that if we're going to be sending tons of ships up and down, up and down, up and down, we need to clean up the debris. You can't have effectively like a minefield of bits and pieces.
Well, according to what you're saying, and I'm sure you're right, that we're going to be using space even more as we go forward. You know, it's going to become kind of routine, ships going up and down, etc. So you'd imagine you're going to have more junk and more, like how, for example, if you've got, let's say in the future you had 3 space stations and you've got paint flecking off it and these tiny particles can cause damage to the craft. How do you prevent that?
Like you have an industry that cleans it up, and same as everything else, you know, like if you look at industry now, you know, what happens when there's oil spills? What happens? There's companies come in and clean them up.
Okay.
You know, so it's a big industry thing. But one thing that, if you look at all of this, is that, and just to give it perspective, you've got, in 1984, the big dish that we have on the site is a 32-meter antenna.
Yeah, just to tell, sorry, Rory, just tell people about the National Space Center. Sorry,
in Middleton.
You're based in Middleton, and it's a big, you've got a big dish down there.
We've got a couple of dishes down there. The big dish is a 32-meter antenna. It was named recently by a student's Corey. Mm. And this is going to be part of the space debris and some of the deep space astronomy is one of the other projects.
And who built it? How did the dish end up in Middleton then? What was its history?
It was built to carry telephone traffic from Europe to America.
Okay.
And like, this is what I'm just saying, on the the history, it was built as a 32-meter antenna to take 300 telephone calls at the same time to the States.
In what year was that?
1984.
Roughly? Right, okay.
Now, if you can think how many calls and communications between the States and here do we have now, it's insane, the scale of it. And that's the kind of thing we're moving. Now it seems like a big deal to go into space, but in 50 years' time, it will be much, much less of a big deal. It will be more like flying to America now.
Sure.
You know?
And on the space junk then, you've signed a deal with the Russian companies to do something. So what exactly will you guys be doing then?
We will be using the big dish to track pieces of debris effectively. And we're also talking to the Americans, because we're in a very sweet spot between Russia and America here, where we're kind of on the overlap between the two of them. Mm. But with the big dish, we can connect with other big dishes. And it's very similar, if you can imagine, the difference between a telescope and a binoculars.
Yeah.
The binoculars gives you depth of field, just looking from two angles.
Sure.
And that's what our dish will do with a Russian dish or American dish. It'll mean that when we're looking into space, they have a much, much better depth of field for the position of the debris and the speed it's moving.
Okay.
And that's where we fit in. And we will be part of the programs going forward for tracking with the European Space Agency and Enterprise Ireland are the guys that are kind of driving this side of it on the European side. And the Russians then have Roscosmos, which is the Russian space guys, and they deal on their side. So between the two of us, this is one of the projects that we will be developing over the next 2 years.
Well, congratulations. And the Space Centre, it's a private company, is it?
It is, yeah. It's got government shareholding. We were funded with Enterprise Ireland 2 years ago. Mm. So we're a new company, and this is a new area It's a very exciting area, and I know that some of the universities and stuff are already doing research into space, and there's a couple of companies involved in aeronautics and space-related stuff on the edge, but it's a different thing now, focusing on space as an industry, and there's an awful lot of opportunity for Irish companies, and if there's any companies out there that are interested in talking to us, we'd be glad to look at helping with any joint pushes into the European Space Agency or into the Russians.
Okay, and just give us your website there if people are interested.
In National Space Centre, and that's centre.eu.
.eu. Okay, great stuff, and thanks for coming on, Rory.
Thanks very much for having me.
We'll have you on again, I'm sure. Thanks very much, Rory.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Right, that's Rory Fitzpatrick. He's CEO of the National Space Centre. That's in Middleton, County Cork. That's it's a private concern, but with Enterprise Ireland backing, and they're looking, analysing or monitoring space debris, which there's an awful lot of, and there's going to be more of it as we travel up and down from space. Stuff gets left up there, and it can be very dangerous, moves at high speed, etc.